Amen. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate that. And what a blessing. Good, good singing. We do have two more visitors that I missed. My wife pointed them out to me, Megan and Casey, right back here in the back. Wave at us, Megan and Casey. Good to have them with us from Adrian College as well. So praise the Lord for that. And good to have them here. All right. We are in Luke chapter 22. The title of the message is The Passover with Our Passover. You say, that's a strange, strange title. Well, you'll understand it here in just a minute. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll begin. Thank you so much, Father, for your word. Thank you that we can observe the Lord's Supper today. Lord, as we think of Palm Sunday, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the people shouted, Hosanna, and they waved the palm leaves, and they really, really treated you as a king. But it's so sad to realize that just a few days later, those same people would be yelling, crucify him. And Lord, forgive us for being sinners. Forgive us for often betraying you, as Judas does here in this story, and as we do so often. Help us to do right. Help us to love you and serve you. And help us today, as we observe the Lord's Supper together, to just recognize that you are our Passover. And I pray you'll bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus here is observing the Passover with his disciples, and it is his last Passover to observe with them. He says in verse 15, and I found it interesting, he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He said with desire. He was longing for this day, and yet later on in the Garden of Gethsemane, he would obviously be dreading what was about to happen to him as he would die on the cross to pay for our sins. But he says, with desire, I've desired to eat this Passover, because it would be the last Passover that would be necessary, because he would become our Passover. And you say, well, I don't totally understand. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, let's look at it real quick. Keep your place there in Luke. 1 Corinthians 5. And verse 7, the Bible says, the second part of verse 7, it says, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And literally, Jesus would become the Passover. He would be sacrificed on the cross to pay for our sins, literally to take my place. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died, but he took my place. And he became the Passover. And so he says, I really have a desire. He's looking at his disciples and says, I've desired to eat this Passover. Now, Jesus had observed Passover after Passover, but this Passover would be very, very special. And he says in verse 16, for I say unto you, I will not anymore eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And of course, they had to be kind of scratching their heads because of some of the things that he said, because obviously they would not understand all of it until later on. But there would be no need to observe the Passover as such anymore, because he would become the Passover. And then we would observe, as we will this morning, the Lord's Supper. And by the way, usually we have the Lord's Supper on Sunday evenings, and we have most of our folks in. We have other ministries going on right now, but today we wanted to observe it. Every now and then we like to on a Sunday morning, and so I'll be explaining some things, and especially as we think of Palm Sunday, as we think Jesus here, as he's with his disciples, he has already gone through the what is called triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Literally, the people praised him. They shouted, Hosanna. It was just an amazing thing. In fact, the Bible says if they hadn't, that the stones would have cried out. And what an amazing thing that would have been. But the people did, and they responded. They thought he was coming to be the King of Kings and to be their king and to remove them from the rulers that were ruling them. And they had it all mixed up. He was coming to die on an old rugged cross to take away our sins. And though they thought he was coming to take away the tyranny of the rulers over them, he was coming to take away a whole lot more. Amen. He was coming to take away our sins. And again, you know, what an amazing thing. So this is the Passover, and we've been talking for the last month about these three great feasts, as you recall. I preached a message a month ago on I Am Rejoicing, and that message became a series of messages on I Am Rejoicing. We talked about the three feasts. That feast, of course, that we talked about was the Feast of Pentecost. This feast is one of those three great feasts, and it is the Passover feast. And again, as Baptists, we love feasting. Amen. But these feasts were on purpose. The Passover was to commemorate the Passover. And it was to commemorate that time that the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt, and they were being literally tortured and beaten, and it was a miserable existence. And God came to deliver them and sent Moses as the leader, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But they, as we talk about these three feasts, and certainly the Passover is one of them, we've talked about three things that are true in these feasts that God said they were to do in these feasts. And one was to remember, two was to respond, and three was to rejoice. And that's what the feasts were all about. They were to remember what the feast was about, they were to respond to that, and then they were to rejoice and literally end up the feast with rejoicing. And I'm just submitting to you today, that's what we need to do. As we observe the Lord's Supper, which is, again, it's not the Passover feast because Jesus became the Passover, but it is the Lord's Supper. It is to look at the Lord Jesus Christ, to remember. It is a memorial service to Jesus Christ. We need to remember, we need to respond, and we need to rejoice. And those things are always going to be expected from God. This, we don't do anything as a ritual, okay? We're not ritualistic. When we have the Lord's Supper, we do it on purpose because we want people to remember, to respond, and to leave rejoicing. It is a wonderful, wonderful service because of all that it means. And so we observe the Lord's Supper today, but we're studying and we're looking at this illustration of Jesus with his disciples, and they observe the Passover. By the way, when we talk about the Lord's Supper, the Bible says, "This do in remembrance of me." And we'll talk about examining ourselves. We'll talk about how you need to be saved, you need to be baptized, you need to be right with the Lord, and all of that to observe the Lord's Supper. And certainly, that is true. And you know, a lot of people, well, you know, I'm not really right with the Lord. I'm not gonna. No, God says to observe the Lord's Supper. This do in remembrance of me, and that means that it's really not an option. Whatever you need to do to observe the Lord's Supper, you need to do it. That's what it's all about. Remember, respond, and rejoice. And the response is, what's your choice? What do you choose? What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's exactly where the disciples were, as there they were, the Passover with our Passover. And so we come to number one, and that is remember. They need to remember. Jesus said very clearly to them as he's going through the Lord's Supper with them or the Passover meal with them. Verse 19, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." There it is. Remember. Remember. Remember Jesus. And certainly they're trying to transition this because they're remembering the Passover. They're remembering how that their people were slaves and bondmen in Egypt. And they're remembering how Moses came and Moses was to lead them. But Pharaoh kept saying, "I'm not going to let you go." And they're remembering the plagues that God sent to the Egyptians. And literally nine plagues. And all nine of those plagues attacked one of the gods of the Egyptians. And by the way, when I say gods, I'm saying small g gods. They're not real gods, but the Egyptians looked at them that way. And every one of those plagues was an attack by God Almighty on the gods of the Egyptians. Thus, the Egyptians were being literally taken apart by God Almighty so that his people could be delivered. And praise the Lord for that. And so these nine plagues take place, and all those times Pharaoh keeps saying, I will not let the people go. And you know the story. Moses would come and said, let my people go. And Moses would say, I'm not going to do it. And there'd be a plague. And over again, nine times those plagues came to the Egyptians. Literally, their country was being destroyed because Pharaoh was so stubborn. It's amazing how I'll watch as a pastor lives being destroyed because we are so stubborn. It's amazing how we will be so stubborn as God speaks to us and deals with us, and yet we want just, I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's how Pharaoh was, and he refused over and over. And so the 10th plague is what this feast is all about. The 10th plague was the plague of the death angel coming to kill the firstborn in every household. How many firstborns do we have here? You're the firstborn in your family. How many? All right. I'm not, but I'm raising my hand. All right. Just to get you to raise your hand. So the firstborn, try to imagine that now, especially if you're a teenager, you're still in the home and you're the firstborn there. By the way, it could be a parent. A parent could have been the firstborn, and all firstborn. And that is exactly what Moses, he said, look, he said, here's what's going to happen. The firstborn in every house is going to die. The death angel will come, and the firstborn will die. And again, you know, every plague has come true, just like God said. There's no reason to believe this one's not going to come true as well. And wow, people are, what are we going to do? And God says, here's what you do. There is one way out of this, and only one way. By the way, that's how salvation is, folks. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're not going to get to heaven through the Baptist church. You're not going to get to heaven through any religion. You're not going to get to heaven by doing good works. There is one way to get to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. There is no other way. And so God said, here is the one way that the firstborn lives in your household. The death angel is going all over the land, and he's going to go everywhere in the land. And there's only one way out of this thing, and that is to take a lamb and to kill that lamb and to take the blood of that lamb and put it in a bowl and take a whisk broom of hyssop weed and to take the blood from that lamb and put it on your doorpost and the lintel and to put that blood on the outside of your door. And when I see the blood, he said, I will pass over you. Now, I'll be honest with you, folks. We read this and we kind of just read it and go through it and don't think a whole lot about it. But I'll be honest with you. I'm in one of those households and I'm the firstborn. I'm telling Dad, get that blood on there now. Huh? You know, maybe the wife is the firstborn. You know, maybe Dad's the firstborn. I'm just saying, you live in that house and you're the firstborn. You better, you know, hey, let's take care of this thing right now. It had to be an amazing night. I'm sure if there would have been news agencies, it would have been covering the screams that were coming throughout the night as the death angel passed through all the land. House after house after house, death would reign supreme throughout the land. But wherever the blood was, whichever door. By the way, the door, the picture is a beautiful picture. And the picture is the blood here, the blood here, the blood here. The blood here would drip down to there, and you would have the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a beautiful picture of what Jesus did for us. He is the Lamb of God. And so the Passover now, as they think about this, and as the disciples have gathered together, Jesus is telling them that they're eating the Passover, and he is transitioning them to the fact that he is about to die to pay for their sins. He is about to die. He is about to be that lamb slain, his blood shed, that would cause the death angel literally from taking him to hell to taking him to heaven. so that their sins could be passed over. That's what the blood of Jesus does. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so that's what he's, and so Jesus is having, and again, if, in my mind, I try to imagine this taking place, and it's an amazing thing to think about as the disciples are gathered around. By the way, one of them, as far as we know, very clearly one of them is not saved. One of them has not believed Jesus. One of them has not trusted Jesus, and there he sits. Just like today, it is very possible in a crowd this large, there's somebody here who has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. You've never been saved. And I don't say that to belittle you at all. I say that to say Jesus loves you so much, and he wants to save you. And you're not here by accident. You're here on purpose so you could hear how much Jesus loves you and how much he wants to save you. And I hope before the end of this service, you will trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so we're now transitioning. They're remembering the Passover. They're remembering that night. They're in their minds thinking about one of their loved ones from years before who would have taken that blood and marked that door on the outside of that door and made sure that everybody knew and that certainly the death angel would see the blood and would pass over that house. And that's their mind. And Jesus is saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." And all of a sudden, he's saying, from now on, when you observe this supper, I want you to think about me. I want you to think about me. It's possible that folks thought about that little lamb. It's possible that some, as especially after the first year and then after the second year, and after maybe they thought back to that little lamb, a little lamb that maybe was out in their yard and maybe was everybody was familiar with. It's possible that they remembered that little lamb and how that little lamb had to die and the blood had to be put on the doorpost and the lintel. Jesus says, "I am the Lamb of God. I am your Passover. I am giving my life for you." And he says, "This do in remembrance of me." Remember me. And so as we pass out the elements in a little while, we'll pass out the bread first, and everybody will wait until they get their piece of bread, and it takes a little while to go through. And I always tell people, think about Jesus. The Lord's Supper is a time where we remember Jesus, the event that took place. There are times, I'll be honest, I think of the Passover and I think of that amazing story that is told, but I always go back to the fact that Jesus gave himself for me. And it is a time to think about the Lord Jesus, a time to think about his birth, and how he came as a little baby in a manger. And I can't have the Lord's Supper but what I don't think about Christmas and the Christmas story. It's a time where we think about all his temptations. Matthew 4, Luke 4, you might even read those passages. We think how he was tempted in all points such as we are. Every point, every temptation that you and I have faced, every time that we have said, "No, I'm gonna withstand," or every time that we failed and we gave in to that temptation to lie, to cheat, to steal, to whatever it might be. He was tempted in all points such as we are, yet the Bible says without sin. Now again, you go back to the Passover and how they watched that lamb. They watch that lamb. Choose a lamb and watch that lamb. Make sure it has no limp. Make sure it has no disease. Make sure it has no spot. Make sure it is perfect. Jesus says, I want you to look back at my life. I want you to remember, I never sinned. 1 Peter 2, verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Remember that. Every now and then somebody said, well, you know, I do a lot of good things. I think I can get myself, but you're sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus said, I never sinned. By the way, to be the lamb, to be the sacrifice, he could have no sin. And remember his birth. We remember his temptation. We remember his miracles that he did. We can remember his prayer in Gethsemane when he prayed for us and he sweat drops of blood. It was so intense. We can think today about his betrayal as we've read in this passage. He was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. And yet, we look at Judas Iscariot and we say, how could he do it? And yet, all over this room, if we look at our own lives, how many times have we betrayed him? We think about his death, how he was not guilty of anything. Certainly not guilty so that he would be crucified. And yet, it was the will of God Almighty, the Father, that his son die on the cross. We think of his death and how the crown of thorns was jabbed down with needles that were this long, at least jabbed down into his skull. Blood was everywhere. We think of how he was beaten so that his body could not be identified as a human body. He was beaten with the cat of nine tails, literally ripping the flesh from his back, his sides and his front as the strands of leather and with glass and rock would cut into the skin and be pulled back and literally would peel the flesh from the body. We think of how he was spit upon, how his beard was pulled from his face. But the worst thing was our sin was laid on him. My sin, your sin, was laid on him. He who knew no sin. Your most wicked thought, your most wicked action, our most wicked thing we've ever done, it was on Jesus on the cross. He says, remember, please remember. This do. As we pass out the bread, which represents his body, I want you to think about how his body was beaten. As we pass out the juice, I want you to think about how his blood literally was pouring out of his body. It's time to remember. It's what it's all about. We remember his death, but praise God, he didn't stay in the grave. Up from the grave he arose. Amen. And we can remember his resurrection. That's why, you know, it can be pretty sad. It can be pretty rough as we think about all of that. But he rose from the grave. And we celebrate that on Easter Sunday. And we can remember, of course, his ascension. In Acts 1, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And we can remember how he went, and we can remember he's coming back. It's a time to remember. This morning, remember him. In a few minutes, we'll have the Lord's Supper. Remember him. Whatever you're having for lunch, that doesn't matter. Whatever you're doing in the afternoon, that doesn't matter. Remember him. Remember him. As I think of the disciples, and Jesus is saying, with desire, I've desired to eat this Passover, knowing that he was that lamb. Knowing that it would not be long and it would be his blood that would be shed. It would be his blood that would cover the sins of all those that would come to him. Wow. Remember that. Remember, and then that leads us to number two, that is to respond. Because it's always about that at these feasts. What we remember, what's it going to make me do? What is, if I will remember this, what will I do because of it? What's it going to cause me to do? And by the way, that is so important as we read our Bibles and read what God has done and read what God says. What will be my response? Because he says this in verse 19. He said, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, watch this now, which is given for you. For you. Given for you and 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 for you. This is my body, which is given for you. In verse 20, he says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for you and for you and for you. Now, what are you going to do about it? That's what the feast was all about, folks. Remember, we read about the Feast of Pentecost and out of Deuteronomy and how the people, they responded by giving. They responded by sacrifices. Jesus says, I want you to remember, but I don't want that to be the end. I want you to respond. What will you do because of it? What's going to happen because of it? You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 that we are to examine ourselves. The Bible says we're supposed to examine, we're supposed to be saved, baptized, and as far as we know, right with the Lord. That doesn't mean we're perfect. It just means we've talked to him about it. We've gotten things right with him. And so we examine ourselves. What's our response? What is our response as we think about the Lord's Supper today? What should I do because of what he did? Every now and then somebody will say, well, and especially a teenager will talk to them, say, you know, it's just too hard to give my life to the Lord. It's just too hard. And I always, in my mind, I go back to that Old Testament Passover. Because there's part of the story that I've told before, but I left it out on purpose because I wanted you to think about it being so hard. Because in that Old Testament Passover, there's something that was going on that is absolutely essential to understand about that original Passover when we say it's just too hard. By the way, all you really have to do is think about Jesus hanging on that cross. Nothing is too hard for us. But in that Old Testament Passover, you have to understand that the Egyptians had so many false little g gods, it was unbelievable. Jesus, or the Lord, attacked 9 of them in the first 9 plagues. And literally, I mean, embarrassed them is what I would like to say. But the Egyptians had probably 2,000 false gods. And each one had what is called a theophany. A theophany is an animal representing their god. An animal, sometimes it was a bug. How would you like your god to be a bug? You know, raid! But anyway. And so they had all these different theophanies. And so, and by the way, people today do that. You know, they worship a cow. And sometimes I, you know, with a T-bone steak, I'm kind of close to that. But no. But they had their 2,000 gods, and each one had a theophany or an animal that represented their god. But what we don't talk about a lot is they had one chief god. That was the main god, the one over all, and that god's name was Amun-Ra. And that god also had a theophany, as their gods might have a cow, or they might have a beetle bug of some kind or something like that. And the sun was one of their gods and all that. But Amun-Ra, the theophany, the manifestation, the animal that represented that god was a lamb. You say, so what? Well, there was a penalty for killing a lamb. And the penalty was the most severe of any penalty for their gods. And the penalty was death. And all of a sudden, the Passover becomes really, really different in my mind. Because the penalty for killing a ram or a lamb was death, because you're blaspheming their chief god. And so every family now has a very tough decision to make. Because the government says, if you kill a lamb, you will die. And God says, if you don't, the firstborn will die. Wow. And what are we going to do? I know the 12-year-old firstborn boy in there, he's going to be saying, kill the lamb, Dad, kill the lamb, believe God. Can you imagine? It's the proper time. It's right before, it's before the Passover, or it's before that time, and a lamb's being chosen out, just like God said, pick out a lamb, watch it, observe it, make sure it's perfect. Can you imagine the government officials walking by saying, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just setting this lamb aside. I have plans for it. Really, what's your plan? Well, we're doing a religious thing, you know, and can you imagine? I mean, if you're going to be honest, well, we're going to kill this lamb. And we're going to take the blood of this lamb, we're going to put it on our door. Oh, you're going to put it on your door? In other words, you're gonna just flaunt in front of everybody that our God means nothing. You will die, sir. We will execute you if you do that. I'm sure a lot of people wondered about that, right? Firstborn says, Dad, you got to kill the lamb. Others in the family say, yeah. Yeah, but if we do, we're all going to die. Yeah. What are you going to do? This morning, as we observe the Lord's Supper, here's what we say. Here's what we're saying. God, I believe you. That's why I take the Lord's Supper. I believe you, God. I believe you. I believe you. I really do believe you. And God, I trust you. But you know, it doesn't mean quite as much as it did to those people many years ago. Or does it? Because it is our choice. What's our response? Well, you know, I'd give God my life, but I'm just having so much fun. I'd let God have control of my life, but you know, I do have my own plans. You know, when I hold that little piece of bread, I think, God, I really do want to give you my life. I really do. And all of a sudden, anything that might take me away from that becomes very unimportant. Kind of like it would have to be back in the old Passover when they actually kill that lamb. And by that, they're saying to the government, we're going to do what God says. Yeah. This morning, as we observe the Lord's Supper, we're saying, I believe God. I believe God. Oh, you say, well, they could have just killed the lamb and hidden everything. Oh, and a lot of people try that with God. We have a lot of secret agent Christians. Yeah. If the blood's not on, well, we'll put it on the back door. No. We'll kill a different animal. That's a good idea. No. Let me tell you, God knows. Put it on the outside where everybody can see it. By the way, that's where you ought to wear your Christianity. On the outside where everybody can see it. And what are we saying when we observe the Lord's Supper? We're saying, I believe God. I want the whole world to know I believe God. And that is our decision. That's our response, should be our response. I'm not ashamed of God. I want everybody to know. God says, examine yourself. And so if you're here today and you're not saved, as you examine yourself, you realize, I've never called upon Jesus to save me. I've never asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I've never trusted Christ. I've never been born again, like the Bible says. And so here's what your response should be. It should be a response by faith, and that is, God, I believe you. I'm going to do what you said. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved today. It's not a religious ritual of any kind. It is you realizing you are lost without Christ and you calling on Him to forgive you of your sin and come into your heart and save you. And you can do that today. We'll give an invitation before we have the Lord's Supper, and you'll have an opportunity to make that decision. You say, that's a tough thing, but it's not as tough as putting the blood out on the door when the government is going to come around. By the way, you say, well, the government finally let him go, didn't they? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Why didn't they kill him? Because their firstborn were dead. And God gave his people a miraculous escape. God always gives his people a miraculous escape. You respond by faith. God, I believe you. I trust you. I did that when I was 17 years old. I said, by faith, I want to be saved. And he saved me. Christian, we respond by faithfulness. What's my response as I remember Jesus? What kind of response? It should be faithfulness. I'll do anything, God. It's almost like when we have the Lord's Supper, it's kind of like a funeral service in a way. It's a memorial service. It's to remember the person who died. And have you ever been at a funeral where you walk in and you're remembering the person, and all of a sudden questions come to your mind? Could I have done more? You ever think that? I have. I've stood at a casket many times. I've heard people say to each other, could I have done more? I think that when I have the Lord's Supper. Could I do more for you, Lord? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? You ever think that? Have you done your best? Could I have done more? Could I have spent more time with them? You ever wonder that at a funeral? You're looking at the looking down. I wasted a lot of time. I could have spent more time with Dad. I could have spent more time with Mom. You always wonder, could you spend more time with Jesus? Morning and evening and at noon will I pray. Psalmist said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That's God's word. You ever say this at a funeral? You know, was there anything left unsaid? Did I tell him I loved him? And you know, the Lord's Supper is a wonderful time to think, hey, is there anything left unsaid? Oh, yeah, I got to get some things right with God. You ever say this? If I just had more time, I would try harder. I've heard that said at caskets. If I just had more time, I would try harder. Could you say that today? You say, well, preacher, if I say that, I do have more time. Yes, you do. Yes, I do. Yes, we do. It's kind of like taking that blood and putting it on the outside and saying, I don't care about Amun-Ra. I care about Jesus. You ever watch people? And I've watched so many people, so many funerals, you know. Many times I've watched someone bend over and kiss that corpse in that casket. A lot of times I think, I wonder if they kissed him while they were still alive. Many, many times that kiss looks like a kiss that hasn't been done in a long, long, long remember Jesus today as we observe the Lord's Supper. Remember him, and remember there's a choice that we make. If you're not saved, your choice is you need to get saved. Your choice is whether to leave here with Christ as your Savior or without him. Certainly, if you're not saved, you would not observe the Lord's Supper, because it is for those who are saved, who have asked him to be their Savior. It's about remembering, it's about response, and of course, it's about rejoicing. Jesus said this to his disciples. He said in verse 18, "For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." In other words, you know what? One of these days, by the way, the fruit of the vine always represents joy and rejoicing. And he's about to go through a very, I mean, just unbelievable how much sorrow, how many tears, what all's going to take place in the next few days. But, you know, he's looking forward to a day. And that's what I rejoice about, because in 1 Corinthians 11, when he gives instructions on observing the Lord's Supper, he says, till he come. Till he come. He's coming. And we're going. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful place where we go. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And behold, Revelation 22, 12, behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And boy, I'll tell you, that brings a big smile on my face. This do till he come. He's coming. You say, yeah, praise God. And we have something to rejoice about. But I'll be honest with you, those that are rejoicing today are those that understood the response that was needed. You leave here lost, you have nothing to rejoice about. You leave here not right with God, you have nothing to rejoice about. Just like Judas. It's so hard for me to imagine, and I close with this, so hard for me to imagine verse 21 and verse 22. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Right there. Here's Jesus. He's breaking the bread. He's giving out the juice. This do in remembrance of me. And he's going through all of that. And behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And there sat Judas, hearing that, and saying, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. This morning the Lord's Supper is about not doing what we want to do. It's about doing what he wants us to do. Remember, respond, and rejoice. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. I wonder how many here today would be honest and say, preacher, I am saved. I have trusted Jesus as my Savior. And if I died right now, I know for sure that I go to heaven. Would you raise your hand as a testimony of that today? You know you're saved. No doubt about it. You've trusted Christ as Savior. Thank you. That's a wonderful sight. Many, many hands up. What a blessing that is. And I can't see everyone. I'm really not trying to see everyone. But maybe you're here today and you've never done that. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. But you'd be honest and you'd say, preacher, if I died right now, I really don't know if I'd go to heaven. But I'd like to know. I'd like to know that I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Pray for me. Raise your hand. Slip it up. Anyone at all, pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone at all, please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Anyone? Pray for me. I am not saved. How many Christians would say, preacher, I'm saved. I've already trusted Christ as Savior. I know that. but God's spoken to my heart about something in my life, please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. God's speaking to my heart as a Christian. Thank you. God bless you. In a moment, we'll give the invitation. You'll have an opportunity to come and make that decision. Pray about that decision. Get things settled with God. Make the right response as you remember Him. Father, bless our invitation now. Please save anyone who's not saved. Lord, I don't know everyone here. I don't know their hearts, but You do. And You love every one of us. And You sent Your Son to die for us. Help no one to leave without Christ, please. And I pray for Christians that whatever decisions need to be made, they'll make. And we'll all be prepared as we observe the Lord's Supper together in Jesus' name.